Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have you all worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to our visitors and guests. We are glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or to give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to sign a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you, and all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. You can place the cards in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. And now I encourage you all to sign the friendship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign it and make note of your presence and pass your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the piece or following worship. It is a busy season in Advent as we prepare for Christmas, and you can see a list of announcements in the inside cover of our bulletin. There are just a few announcements I want to highlight for you this morning. The first is we have a calendar of Advent events. Looks like this in a brochure on the table in the commons, so please take one home and peruse at your leisure. That lets you know when our labyrinth will be open in the coming weeks. We're also continuing to collect the Christmas joy offering. This is a special offering done by our denomination that goes to support retired clergy in need. So you can leave your offering in an envelope that looks like this, or give online and designating it Christmas Joy. We are excited this morning to welcome new members, Pam Sinclair and Dave Robinson. We'll look forward to them joining with us later in worship. And last of all, immediately following the worship this morning, we will have a congregational meeting to do an annual review of my terms of call. We hope you'll plan to stay for a couple of minutes for a brief meeting following worship. Now I'd open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church. Thank you. Are there others? Well, it is a joy to celebrate God's coming presence to us this season in Jesus Christ. So with joy, let us worship and begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Look, the young woman is with child.
She will call him Emmanuel, for God is with us.
with the light this candle as a sign of the coming light of the Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling will lay down together, and a little child shall lead them.
And let us pray. Holy God, your eternal word took flesh among us when Mary placed her life at the service of your will. Prepare our hearts for Christ's coming again. Keep us steadfast in hope, faithful in following, and attentive to your grace, that we would be prepared to receive your kingdom as Christ comes again. Amen. You may be seated. If you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together. First in silence, let us pray. And together, God of grace, this season we hear the voice of John and the call to repent and return to you. But we find it hard to turn aside from what we are doing. We are uncomfortable waiting on you, so we go on our own way. We're susceptible to fads and spiritual fixes. We collect things and buy more. We hurry through life, ignorant of the suffering of others. Forgive us, Lord, in your patient love. Give us your spirit again, to return us to the ways of righteousness and paths of peace. through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. Come on down. It's good to see you all this morning. So I saw earlier some of you were in here rehearsing for the Christmas pageant. Is that right? What are you going to be in the Christmas pageant?
Angel.
A shepherd? That's fun.
Angel.
An angel? A wise man?
No, a wise girl.
A wise girl? That's good. You're going to be an angel? What else? What's everyone going to be in the Christmas pageant? A wise man?
Wise men?
We've got a lot of wise people. This will be helpful as we're talking. What are you going to be? Okay. Well, that's great. It's one of my favorite things about this season.
I'm going to be a camel.
Oh, she's going to be a camel? That's good. Maybe that's why she was so quiet. One of my favorite things about this season is when we get to dress up and be a part of the story. And it reminds us of really what the story is about, which is Jesus, who is God, comes to us, and Jesus looks just like one of us. So Jesus was a baby, and then he grew a little bit bigger, and then he was a child, and he did all the things that you do, played with friends, and went to school, and grew up, and that's just what we do here. So even as we pretend to be people from the story about Jesus, we remember the time that God came to be like one of us. And that's one of the fun things we'll get to remember in the pageant this week. And that's one of the great things we get to remember every week during Advent as we prepare for this time when Jesus is born. So I'm grateful for your help in telling this story every week and especially next week as we have our pageant together. Will you have a prayer with me? Can you put your hands together and close your eyes and repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for coming to us as Jesus Christ. Help us to be a part of your story and to follow Jesus wherever he leads. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, hold still for just a second as we say goodbye. So we dismiss our children to their time together in worship. Let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. Let's listen for God's word. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
In this season of Advent, we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the coming of God into our world. And the irony of this season of preparation is that really something we can prepare for? Like we'll hear in the story of Mary, God comes to us out of the blue as a surprise over the ordinary course of our lives. And this means that our preparations are for something different. It's not that we can ever really be ready for God's presence. Maybe like Mary, we can only be ready to follow when called. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, listen for God's word to you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, also has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month of her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. God, speak your word into our troubled and anxious hearts, our wanting lives and our confused minds. Let your light shine into our darkness, that we would see who you have created us to be in the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. A couple of years ago, our dishwasher broke. It may not seem Advent-themed, but it's the sort of thing you worry about this time of year. Getting it replaced became a more involved process than we had anticipated. The deliverer deferring on installation because of the need to move a water line and the strange height of the tile in our kitchen. So we hired someone we trusted who sent a couple of people over for the job. They stared at it for a while and went to work. And about 45 minutes later, after the clanging of wrenches and indistinct grunts coming from the other room, we heard, "Well, I am bamboozled." We knew this was not a good sign. It's not something you really want to hear from anyone, your doctor, your dentist, your accountant, nor anyone else working on your home. What should have been a two-hour job turned into a day-long slog of wrenches, indistinct grunts, and more than a few bamboozles. So our story today begins with Mary in a state of perplexity. And there's really not a good way to translate this word, and so the best I can come up with is bamboozled. This may seem like a stretch, but there's no way to accurately capture Mary's state of mind as she is addressed by the angel Gabriel. Different people have tried different ways to say it. Is she confused? the artful, very confused, confounded, scared, perplexed. I think the best word is bamboozled. The intrusion of the divine presence into her ordinary life is nothing less than some kind of cocktail of surprised, scared, and perplexed. Her life has radically changed in the blink of an eye, and what was thought impossible has now entered into her world and expanded her imagination of God. Despite her ordinariness, despite the everyday living of her life, Mary has found favor with God, and she will bear a son. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's a startling statement to hear about any child, much less from the angel who has come into your living room. What was once the ordinary trajectory of a life, all of a sudden becomes full of the presence of God. It's not something we ever really understand. Neither did Mary. And it's not something we can ever really be ready for, much less prepare for, as we try to do in Advent. One of the things that gets lost, maybe in this season more than most, but in any time we read these stories of Scripture, is how ordinary all of the people were before God showed up. The Bible has etched their names into eternity, but really what makes the Bible interesting is the fact that it's about ordinary people like us and God intervening in their lives in a strange way. The Bible is God's story of intervening to save God's people, but this happens in a pattern that gets repeated over and over again. God works through the lives of people with jobs and marriages and bills to pay, people just minding their business, going about their lives. And so the way that people usually respond to this intrusion of God is in their perplexity, their bamboozlement. So Abraham and Sarah, nonagenarians, both get a baby announcement. Moses, a shepherd living on the lam with a speech impediment, called to confront the most powerful ruler in the world. David, the most inconsequential person in his family, anointed to rule Israel. Jeremiah, called to preach despite his young age. Isaiah, brought into heaven into God's presence despite his impure speech. Rahab and Ruth, poor outcast women, make up Jesus' family tree. The activity of God in their lives has nothing to do with their qualifications, their gifts. It recalls Paul's statement that God uses the foolishness of the world, our foolishness, to shame the wise. We don't know if any of these people were particularly religious before God got a hold of them. God spoke, and in spite of, maybe even because of their bamboozlement, they followed. That's what faith looks like. It's not rational assent to the entire enterprise all at once. How could anyone in their right mind assent to all this? It's simply getting up after the call to follow, and maybe taking a step or two in the right direction. An image we use for this life of faith, it's not understanding everything all at once, but it's like a journey. And that's why we're calling our preparations for Advent this year a journey to Bethlehem. Over the course of the 4 weeks of Advent, day by day, we draw closer to this time of celebration when Jesus is born. And for Mary and Joseph, this was a literal journey, traveling from their home in Nazareth all the way to Joseph's ancestral village in Bethlehem. For us, it's another kind of journey. It's a trip through work days and shopping and Christmas cards and parties, traditions and obligations, all like steps along a circuitous road to get where we'd like to be. And it seems like the destination is still a long way off. I'm not sure how everything got to be like this around Christmas time, conspiracy to make everyone busy. What was once a time to prepare for the coming of Jesus has taken on the shape of much of the rest of our lives. The hurried busyness, the distracted activity, the resorption of God's mystery into a rehearsed calendar of steps that we can control and plan. I can't get it out of the pulpit right now. We even made a brochure for what Advent looks like. And that's always the temptation in our faith and our religion. We take these holy mysteries into our hands and we try to turn them into things that we can understand and prepare for. A season to wonder at the incarnation of God in the flesh becomes a time of plans and activities that are subject to our wishes and our work. Something far beyond us has become domesticated in our comfortable traditions. The great gifts that we expect come with two-day shipping. My intention is not to be Scrooge, although I sound like it, but to remind us and myself most of all that the coming of Jesus isn't really something we can circle on the calendar and prepare for in the sense that we're ever really ready. We may not understand what it means that God has come in flesh. I'm actually quite confident that we'll never understand exactly what that means. Instead, maybe the real journey of Advent is like a reflection of the experience of Mary. Not so much the understanding of the mystery as the accepting of it. A movement from perplexity, bamboozlement, into an affirmation of faith. Here I am, servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. That's the journey we're really preparing for. Lives of perplexity to lives of faith. Lives of ordinariness to lives of mystery and awe and wonder. Lives in our control to lives in God's. What we cannot do in the busyness and the ordinariness of all of our work and preparation, God does for us in Jesus Christ. The writer and theologian Frederick Buechner articulates the kinds of things we like to control in the activity of God in our lives. He describes this faith as a kind of mystery. And he says there are a couple of kinds of mysteries. There are mysteries which you can solve by thinking. He says, for instance, a murder mystery whose mysteriousness must be dispelled in order for the truth to be known. But there's another kind of mystery. There are other mysteries which do not conceal a truth to think your way, but whose truth itself is a mystery. He says, take the mystery of yourself, for example. The more you try to fathom it, the more fathomless it is revealed to be. No matter how much of yourself you are able to objectify and examine, the quintessential living part of yourself will always elude you. That is the part that is conducting the examination. So you don't solve the mystery, you live the mystery. And you do that by not fully knowing yourself, but by fully being yourself. Buechner continues, to say that God is a mystery is to say that you can never nail God down. Even on Christ, the nails proved ultimately ineffective. This is why the metaphor we use for faith has more to do with journey than destination. There's always more to learn, to discover, to experience of God. It's a mystery to be lived, not one to be solved. That's why Mary, in this announcement from the angel, doesn't ask why, at least not for too long. She moves pretty quickly from the perplexity to the acceptance of faith. So we express this way, this differently. It's in our desire to learn and to study. It's in our worship, understanding that things like communion, like preaching, are sometimes beyond us. I know that preaching is beyond me. One of the ways that the church has historically embodied this idea of journey is through pilgrimage. So for much of church's history, pilgrims would visit holy sites throughout the world to connect the grace of God with this ordinary place that they could go to and touch and live in. So saints would appear and be important to particular places, or people would go to the Holy Land to try to follow in the steps that Jesus actually walked. In the late Middle Ages, the dangers of travel made these kinds of trips unfeasible for most. And so, not wanting to lose the sense of faith as a journey, many places of worship built labyrinths, places where pilgrims could walk as a symbol of their journey with God. You can see a picture of a labyrinth on the cover of the bulletin. Last week, some of us learned a little bit more about this practice of labyrinth walking. The thing that I learned is that I have trouble walking slowly. If I consider each step, I think about the movement of each muscle and each twitch. And what I realized is that I am much more practiced at walking quickly and purposefully, always towards a goal. I think that's true for most of us. So a labyrinth doesn't let you do that. If you build up a head of steam, if you think you know where you're going, all you're going to do is run into another corner and find yourself off track. You will change direction. So you have no real say in where you're going. All you can do is follow the path and put one foot in front of the other. If your mind were to jump too far ahead, if you were to trace the path with your eyes, you become dizzy with possibilities and the route ahead. You lose your footing, you stumble, you go outside the lines. When finally you give up and you keep walking, eventually you make it to the center. The journey is over. It's grace. It's a gift. You haven't ended up anywhere in particular, and if you look at the picture of the labyrinth, you'll notice that the beginning is very close to the ending, just a few steps forward. But something is different. You may not be able to say what it is, but walking that circuitous way, something looks different. It's a journey. That's what faith is. It's not necessarily understanding anything new or even ending up in a radically different place. Maybe it's just learning how to put one foot in front of the other so that you can move from perplexity or fear at the beginning of it to appreciation and acceptance along the way. The mystery never gets solved or nailed down, but it gets lived one step at a time. Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker in heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Now I'd like to invite forward our new members to join me in the front of the sanctuary. One of the joys of our life together is that from time to time, people join us along the way of faith and become a part of our journey together. And today we are excited to welcome two new members to our journey, to our community of faith, Pam Sinclair and Dave Robinson. Both are natives of Chatsworth, joining by transfer of their letter, and we are excited to welcome them in this season of journeying together. Let's have a prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your Son and your Spirit, for the ways you lead us every step of our lives, for the baptism we receive in the introduction into your great and infinite love, for the ways and the communities that form us, for relationships and companions along the way of faith. Thank you for Pam and for Dave for their decisions and their commitments. We ask that you bless them in this next step of their journey. We pray for our community that you would teach us how to receive them in their gifts, how to be faithful in support and in ministry. Help us together to become even more and more an image of your love in Jesus Christ, to offer hope and help to a world that needs it, to be a light shining in darkness, and to always follow in Christ's way. We pray in his name. Amen. We welcome you to the church. Amen. As a community of faith, let us join together in prayer. Holy God, we wander here by different ways. We're all looking for the same thing. We want lives of meaning and purpose. We want peace in our communities. We want healing in the places where we're broken. We want to know who you are in Jesus Christ, your Son. All these things we lift to you, our hope and our longing, our doubt and our grief, trusting that by the power of your Spirit, you hear us and will answer. Lord, in your mercy. God, in the season, as days grow darker, we pray for the light of your hope, that it would meet us here in this place as we read scripture and sing songs, as we pray and listen for your word. Sometimes we admit that it's difficult to hear among the noise of the world and the busyness of our lives, all that drown out the songs of angels and the music of heaven, and we can lose ourselves in the world's activity. Help us to find our way back onto yours. We pray that our ways of weariness would turn into paths of peace. We long to follow you through the wilderness, to journey with you and your Son to Bethlehem, enter into the presence of Jesus, and find your love for us in the manger. Hear our searching cry for you, Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. God, we know that there are worse obstacles in the world than these. Today, we are especially mindful of the vulnerable in our community, in our world. We remember that your parents were refused shelter and that you entered the world through a stable. We pray that these reminders would speak to our compassion and hospitality, that we would be mindful of those who have less than us and work for a world where the poor receive good news and the homeless and the wanderer find home. Lord, in your mercy. In our own lives, we need your healing and peace too. We each have burdens and pains that we nurse in this season, and we pray that you would come to that place of our deepest pain. We know that this is a difficult time, especially for those who grieve. So for them, we ask for the comfort of your Spirit. Be with all who mourn, and renew your promise of love within them. And we're mindful of those who are sick or in need of your healing. And as we remember your promise to meet us at our places of pain, we ask your healing peace on those who suffer or are fighting illness. There are many to remember, and so we pray to you in the silence of our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. At the last, Lord, we celebrate with you this season, trusting that you are with us and preparing us through this place to receive you. And so we thank you for the dedication of singers and volunteers, for the gifts of new members, for the joy of giving, for the laughter of children, for all that speaks to us here of your love which is coming. Lord, in your mercy. Two candles are lit, Lord, but we hope for something more. Hear all our prayers as the age-old cry of your people, come, Lord Jesus. Expecting his coming, we pray in the way Christ taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We who have received, let us worship God through our giving. Let us pray. Holy God, for the love and joy of this season, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and his Spirit, for this place of worship, for the community we share, for all that we have received from your hands, we give you thanks and ask your blessing on what we return, that we would bear witness to the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the hope and the joy he brings. We pray in Christ. Amen. Wherever you go, wherever you are on your journey, know that Jesus Christ is with you and will guide your feet even if you stumble. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.